for that last session. It was really, really powerful. We give God praise. And we're so glad and honored to have them in our midst, himself and his precious wife. This evening, very quickly, I'm going to be speaking on the topic, Impacting Your World. And it's one of the books that we have out there. I'll just give you a little summary, Impacting Your World. And, of course, you've been told about the new book, Strong Like the Eagle. We're all talking about strength here because the Lord wants us to leave this conference much, much stronger than the way we came. And I know he will do it. He has already started doing it. Impacting your world. Impacting your world. And the theme of the conference is Divine Strength for Greater Exploits. And of course, you know what exploits are. When we talk about exploits, they have to do with, you know, doing things that are not the normal things, not the general things, you know, things that are uncommon. And the Lord wants to release on us supernatural strength, amen. Not ordinary strength, supernatural strength. Amen. So that by the time we leave here, we would have been empowered, we would have been endued with so much strength. That we'll see ourselves doing things we've never been able to do for him before. I know we've already been doing some, you know, great things for the kingdom, but he's talking about greater exploits. Greater exploits. What is impact? Impact has to do with influence. Having a strong, significant influence or effect on people and on situations. The Lord has loaded every one of us with potentials. You are loaded with gifts. You are loaded with abilities. Whatever it takes to rule your world, the Lord has packaged and loaded inside of you. There is no child of God that is released to her generation as a nonentity. Nobody. Because we have the DNA of Jehovah himself, the creator of all things. So he loaded us with gifts, with abilities, you know, with talents. With potentials, a lot of untapped energy is lying dormant on the inside of me. And God loaded us with all of this because he wants you to rule your world. He wants you to make a difference where he has planted you. He doesn't want you to finish, you know, living your life and you go back to heaven fully loaded. No, he wants you to die empty, having released all that he has put on the inside of you. To bless your generation. So impact is your ability to harness and use these wonderful things that God has beautified your life with to make a difference in your world. Ability to use these things to bless lives. Because life is not about you. Life is about adding value to other lives. Life is about being a blessing to people around you. Life is about bringing about a change to situations around you. You know, using what God has put inside of you to bless your world. Inside some of us are songs that nobody has ever heard. They are still lying dormant in the womb of your spirit. Inside some of us are books that are yet to be written. Inside some of us are revelations, great inspirations that nobody has ever heard. And they are waiting to be activated and released to your generation. What makes a difference in your life is not how much God has loaded you with, but your ability to harness these things and use them to make a difference. That is what makes a difference in your life. That is what determines whether you will be impactful in your generation or not. They used to say that the grave is the richest place on earth. Because a lot of people just live their lives, you know, still loaded. And then they go to the grave still loaded. That will not be your portion. You must release what God has put on the inside of you. Those potentials must be unleashed. They must be activated so that you can use them and be a blessing to your generation. And then very quickly, I want us to look at some of the ways that... You know, some of the things we need to do to be able to make meaningful impact in our generation. How can I impact my world? How can I make a difference? How can I be a blessing to my generation. How can my life count? Corrie ten Boom, she said many years ago, life is not about its duration. Life is about its donation. What are you donating to your generation? It's not the number of years that you lived. You could live as long as Methuselah. 900 and something years. And we'll be looking for what it is that you did. You know, I don't want to live that kind of long life that, you know, there's really nothing I can say I have accomplished. I want to live a meaningful life, quality life. Long, yes, but quality life. So that I can leave my footprints on the sand of time. You know, we sing the song, fading away like the stars of the morning, losing their light in the glorious sun. That's how all of us will pass away from this earth and its toilings, only remembered by what you have done. How will you be remembered if you are no more? What can people remember about you that will make it difficult for them to forget you? What are you doing to leave your footprints on the sand of time? What are you doing as exploits for the Lord? That when your name is mentioned, such exploits will always be remembered. That's what we want to look at. How can I be an impactful woman or man for my generation? Number one, of course, you need to get genuinely born again. It's not everyone that is in church that is born again. There are so many people who are in church, but they haven't had a contact, a connection with the Lord Jesus. He is the impact maker. So if you are not connected to him, you cannot make impact. There is no way you can make impact without having a connection with the greatest impact maker that has ever been known. The Bible says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. He made so much impact that 2,000 years, you know, down the line, we're still talking about the works that Jesus did. So you need connection with him. You need, you know, to come from the outer core. A lot of people are just Christians in the mouth. There is no connection. There is no relationship. Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. You need to relate with Jehovah himself. Come out from the outer court. Get into the Holy of Holies. Come into where you can say, I know him. And he can say, he knows you. He said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep, they know my voice. You know, when they talk, I know them, they know me. And the voice of a stranger, they will not attend to. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become. You need to get so born again that you will know you are born again. The devil will know you are born again. Don't be that kind of Christian that one leg is here and the other leg is there. So that even the demons around don't even know whether you are born again. That's why some of these demonic flies are hanging around your life, because they are not too sure where you belong. You know, they practice on your life. Because they're not too sure whether you are really for God or you are really for them. You know, you're just standing on the fence. So you need to be genuinely born again. Then number two, you need to know God's purpose for your life. It's not enough to just get born again and just, you know, exist. You are here on purpose. Purpose is the reason why you are born. The assignment that God has given to you to carry out in the world. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says, we are God's workmanship created unto Christ Jesus for good works. Amen. God consciously created you for a reason. There is a reason why you are born. A life without a purpose is a fruitless, useless life. You will just be occupying space, but you are not accomplishing anything. Find out, Lord, why am I here? Why am I here? What's the reason why you position me where you have positioned me? What am I supposed to accomplish? What part of the vineyard is mine to take care of? Because some of us, yes, we've been Christians for a long time, but our vineyard is still overgrown with thorns and thistles. Because you are busy in another man's vineyard. You don't even know why God laid hold on you. Paul said, we need to press on and pursue that for which God laid hold on us. There is a reason why Christ Jesus laid hold on you. And there's no way you will be able to, you know, understand make good of the potential that God has put inside of you if you don't know your purpose. Because your purpose is tied. Your potentials are tied to your purpose. So if you don't know why God has you where you are, then you might just, you know, waste a lot of what he has put on the inside of you. So when you know your purpose, be passionate about it. Let it be your sleeping thought. Let it be your waking thought. Every day, think about it. Write the vision. Make it plain. So that those who read it can run with it. God, what is it you have me do? And then let it be clear to you, because any vision you don't understand, you cannot sell it to someone else. If your purpose is not clear to you, there's no way you can be passionate about it in a way that you can sell that purpose to someone else. Then it's so important that you develop an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. He is the impact maker. He is the power of impact. And then you need to bring yourself to that secret place. That is where you relate with him. That is the place of power. The reason why so many believers are so powerless today is because they have no business with the Holy Spirit. Apostle Frank told us the greatest thing you need as a child of God is power. And that power, you don't pick it in the air. You pick it in the closet. You pick it as you relate with the Holy Spirit. You pick it, you know, as you develop an intimate relationship with him. God doesn't have favorites, but he has intimates. And you are the one that will walk yourself into the place of intimacy with God. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. The Bible says in Psalm 25 verse 14, the secret things of the Lord, they are for those who fear him. Psalm 91, he says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. When you find yourself in that secret place, is a place of relationship. The Holy Spirit is a friend and can be a best friend for anyone who wants to really make him a friend. He's our senior partner. He's a coach. He has what it takes to help you get to where you need to get to in destiny. Amen. If you put him aside, you might have a very great vision. You might have even, you know, the best vision in the world. But without the Holy Spirit, you are just an accident waiting to happen. And you can happen any day and any time. He is the vision, you know, accomplisher. He is the one who helps you through and gets you to where you can accomplish God's vision for your life. He's our counselor. He's our teacher. He's our, you know, administrator. He's our coach. He's everything. Come into an intimate relationship with the Holy Spirit. Stop struggling to accomplish in the flesh assignments that are just a walkover for the Holy Spirit. It's a time waster. You waste so much time. You burn so much energy. And yet you accomplish nothing. Then it's also very important that you learn to accept responsibilities and serve faithfully. Accept responsibilities and serve faithfully. Because ministry is all about service. And service can take you to where status cannot take you to. Your worth is not determined by how many people are running around you and serving you. That's not what determines your worth before God. Your worth is determined by how many lives you are pouring yourself into them. How many people you are serving. That is what determines your worth before God. Inside all of us is loaded the seed of greatness and success. But the price of greatness is responsibility. You can carry that seed of greatness if you don't put it to task by doing some things to serve others, to serve the kingdom. You may just carry your greatness and go to the grave, and no life has been touched by you. So accept responsibilities. And anytime you have opportunity to serve, serve joyfully. Invest your potentials into meaningful activities and services. Look out for opportunities to be a blessing to humanity. Challenge your potentials. That's how to put them to work. Attempt to do things you've never been able to do before. Because there's always a first time. You know, even if you are given an assignment, you've never done it before. Don't shy away. I say, I don't know how to do it. I've never done it before. There's always a first time. If you do it and you don't do it well, you learn and then you're able to do it better. So accept responsibilities. Don't allow fear and timidity to take you away from things you need to do to bring out the greatness on the inside of you. It's as you serve that suddenly your eyes will open and it's like, wow, I never knew I could do this. I'm doing it for the first time. I've never done it before. That is how it starts. By the next time you are doing it, you will do it better than you did it before. Hallelujah. Then you need to also be diligent, be hardworking. Get hungry for God. Serve Him with all your strength, with diligence. One of the scriptures that came out very clearly in the morning is Hebrews 11, 6b, where the Bible says, he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of they that diligently seek him. What you don't desire, you don't deserve it. Get hungry for God. Desire him. Desire him. Yearn for him every day. There's so many believers that are so lazy. I was so excited to hear Apostle Frank say that he loves to read. As busy a man as he is, you would think that he doesn't have time for reading. But you see, when you stop reading, you stop leading. You even stop growing. The Bible says in Revelation 1 verse 3, blessed is he that reads. We bring all these books to you and we say, read. You look at it and then you do eyes, right? Blessed is he that reads. And blessed is he that hears. So the two go together. You need to read. You need to hear. The more you read, the more you develop yourself. You need to read. He got a book just today. I don't know how many pages he has read. Some of us, we hang on to one book for months. You carry it up and down everywhere. You don't have time to read. All those who do not read here, you will repent on this altar. Because you have to learn to read. That is what has kept people like us alive. Even though I've written, you know, God has helped us and we've written like over 30 books, me and my husband. But you know, anywhere I go for a conference, I always go to look for people's books to buy. Because I'm always reading. Sometimes you stay one place and you want to be like one big woman of God, one big man of God. You don't know their secrets. One of the secrets is what? Read. Study. To show yourself approved. Study. A workman that does not need to be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. You need to, you know, be hardworking in your work with God. The Bible says, have you seen a man that is diligent in his business? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before mean men. Proverbs 22, 29. Hard work puts you in a class where only a few achievers get to. Don't be a Christian that, you know, you want Jesus to wake you up in the morning and bet you and put some food in your mouth. And, you know, for you, Christianity is just, let me just enjoy. No. Some hard work goes into becoming who you want to be. Extraordinary heights attract extraordinary prizes. And the level of price you pay is determined by the height you want to attain. I'm so hungry for God. I'm not satisfied with where I am. Sometimes, some of us, even when you have not even reached anywhere, you are so satisfied. Satisfied with nothing. Look at all that Paul went through. Look at all that he knew. Look at all the revelations and all the encounters he had. He kept crying that I may know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. I want to know him. Because there's always a deeper level in our walk with God. There's always a higher height to get to in our relationship with God, that I may know him. Then it's so important, wherever you find yourself, that you be a change agent. Make a difference anywhere you are. Make a difference. God has strategically positioned you wherever you are to touch lives and make a difference. You are empowered for impact. And you can't just exist. I mean, you are carrying the supernatural God on the inside of you. You have his DNA on the inside of you. The same Jesus that went about doing good. You are carrying his DNA. Hallelujah. You cannot just exist. No way. You can't just stay and your impact is not being felt. There are some of us who have not even impacted a fly. A fly. Since you got born again, you have not impacted a fly. Hey! What is all the anointing you received for? The Bible says in John 1:12, when you get born again, as many as receive him, to them gave he power. They were wired with power to become sons of God. You think that power is for decoration? Do you think it is just a new dress so that you will just be, you know, enjoying yourself like I'm enjoying myself in my new dress, you know? I'm wearing a new dress and you're just so happy with yourself. No. The power is for impact. It's for you to make a difference where God has planted you. There is no time Jesus showed up anywhere and things remain the same. When he showed up in a marriage ceremony, things changed. Whenever he showed up in a burial ceremony, things changed. And God said, I want you to be an impact maker. Bring about a change. Some of you have heard me speak, you know, a few times here and there. I love this story about the daughters of Zelophehad. It's a story I love. These are five daughters born by a man. And that is Numbers 27 anyway. So their father died. The law in Israel at that time is that if a man dies and you don't have a son, your brothers will inherit everything you have. But these are five daughters born by one man. They had no brother. And their father's brothers wanted to take everything their father had. They said, no, no, no. Not at our watch. You know, there are so many things that are happening around you. You know, they've been happening from the beginning. In your lineage, in your foundation. And you have allowed them to remain like that because that is how we used to do it. That is how I saw it. But it could have been like that for as long as possible. But right now, a new priest is on ground. And you can tell yourself and tell your family, not at my watch. Right now, I am here as a voice for this family. And things must change. Amen. These daughters, they went to Pastor Moses as a pastor. Yes, we know there's a law like this in Israel. But we say, no, not at our watch. Pastor, something's going to happen. We're not going to agree to the status quo. It doesn't go down well with us. And I believe Moses must have been shocked at that level of boldness coming from women. Because women had not much value in Israel at that time. But the Bible says Moses took their case back to God because he had no answer. And God said, the daughters of Zelophehad are saying what is right. Give them their father's possession. Hallelujah. And while Moses was about to go, God called him back. He's like, maybe God didn't even realize that that kind of law was still active in Israel. He's like, change that law. Change that law. Amen. From today, if a man dies, whether he has son or he doesn't have son, once he has children, the children should inherit their father's property. Amen. So just because women arose and said, no, not at our watch, they changed the whole law in the whole land. Amen. That's what it means to be a change agent. Let your life count. Don't let situations, you know, that you meet and there are bad situations, remain like that and you leave. Let your presence count. Let your presence make a difference. Hallelujah. Yeah, David did that kind of good job in 1 Samuel 22. The Bible talks about David. He collected 400 useless men, worthless men. That's what the Bible calls them, worthless men. And he began to groom them. He poured himself into them. He began to, you know, do some work, add value to their lives. Before you know it, they were graduated from 400 worthless men to mighty men of David. They were the same people that helped him through his battles, that he never lost a battle. But he could have just looked at them and said, these are useless miscreants, useless, worthless people. What am I going to do with them? There are such worthless people around you with seed of greatness on the inside of them, whom you can bring under your loins and groom them. And before you know it, the great thing inside of them will begin to ooze out. That's what it takes to be a change agent. Then it's so important, wherever you find yourself, be a great blessing. Add value to lives. In Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God spoke to Abraham and he said to him, I will bless you. I will make you famous in the land and you will be a blessing. He said, I'm not just going to bless you, but I will make you a blessing. You are not yet blessed until you have become a blessing. A flowing blessing, a generational blessing. And God does not just bless you for you. He blesses you so that as a channel, as a distributor, the blessing can flow and touch your world. How many people are you blessing? How many people can say, my story is incomplete without the impact Apostle Frank made in my life? There's no way I can complete my story without what God used Angela to do in my life. You don't have to be everybody's hero or heroine, but you must be a hero and heroine to some people whose stories and histories will not be complete without your inputs in their lives. Job brought his curriculum vitae before God in Job 29 when he was going through all his sufferings. He had something to present to God. God, look at me. I've been eye to the blind. I've been a feet to the lame. I've searched into matters I didn't even know anything about. I've made the widow's heart to sink. Lord, look at it. Look at my case before you. Some of us don't even have any case like that to bring before God. If you have to plead your case, you have nothing to say. Whose life will you say you have impacted? How many widows around you are smiling because of you? It's not enough to just be a high flyer. It's important to know how many people are flying because you are up. How many are flying? It's not enough to just be a big woman of God or man of God somewhere. But how many have you given feathers to fly? How many are climbing on your shoulders so they can see farther? That's what it's all about. How many lives are you touching? How many people are you blessing? You have more value in life if you give more than you take from people. Acts 20:35b says it's more blessed to give than to receive. Some of us, we want money. Don't just look for money, but look for ways to channel your money. Send your money on assignment into the lives of people. Send your money on missions. You money, go and bless this life. Go and bless this life. Go and bless this life. Your worth is not, you know, the size of your house or the jewelries you wear, how, you know, expensive they are. That's not how God looks at you to know your worth. How God judges your worth is how many lives are being turned around because of you. That's what impact is about. Anywhere you find yourself, be a solution. Don't be a problem. There are believers that move around like a bag of contention looking for where to explode. They just carry themselves as if they are just a problem. And they are just looking for opportunity to release the chaos in their life upon every life around them. Be a solution. You are an embodiment of solution. You can be an answer to the cry in the heart of people. Be a solution. Don't be a problem. You get nothing by being a problem. We have enough problems already in the world. Don't add to it. We are looking for solutions. There's so many questions everywhere. We need answers to those questions. Be a solution. People like Deborah arose, a mother in Israel, at a time when there was so much powerlessness and lawlessness, so much insecurity of life and property. Women were being raped in their farms. People were hiding to go collect things from their farm. There was problem in the land. And Deborah arose, a mother in Israel. She became a solution. And the Bible says, when she stepped out onto the scene, Israel had peace for 40 years. That same anointing is in your life. You can activate it and be a solution. You don't get anything by being being full of strife. The Bible says in James chapter 3, verse 16, where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every other evil thing. So we don't need the strife inside of you. We need you to trash it and be a solution. So that wherever you enter, release peace. Even if you enter into a place that is so chaotic, you have what it takes. When Jesus was in the boat and there was a storm, all he did was peace, be still. And there was calmness. And you are a son and a daughter of the Prince of Peace. Hallelujah. Carry peace along everywhere you go to. Hallelujah. Mentor people around you. Mentor them with joy. A mentor may, sees what even the person that you're mentoring does not see that he's carrying. A mentor sees the potentials hidden inside a mentee. Sees that, look, this is a vessel. Even though the person may not have all that it takes to get to where the person needs to get to, but this person is carrying something. He's an embodiment of good things. Just like in Acts chapter 18, verse 24. Aquila and Priscilla, they saw something in Apollos. This was a young man that was vibrating on the altar. And they were seated here while Apollos was speaking. The Bible says he was mighty, eloquent in speech. Vibrating as a young man would vibrate. But he was preaching on the baptism of John, two dispensations behind. He was outdated. He was not current with whatever heaven was saying. He was talking about John, and then he was bragging in the talking. And these two elderly people, mentors, looked at him and said, this man is carrying something, but he needs to be upgraded. He needs to be updated. They called him after the meeting and said, young man, we want you to pass the night with us. The Bible said they took him to their house and taught him the word of God more accurately. They brought him to the cutting edge of what the Lord was saying. And by the time he was empowered, he now got to know that, look, Jesus has come, finished his assignment. This is the era of the Holy Ghost. I believe they must have even released upon him the baptism of the Holy Ghost. By the next time he left to the next place, Achaia, the Bible says, the work of the Lord, what the Lord did was so much. That is what mentorship is about. Every good mentor wants, his sons, her sons and daughters to be better than him. You're not afraid. When you see your sons and daughters basking in water and flame, doing great things for the kingdom, you are not afraid. Because the more the Lord uses them, the happier you are. That there are many upcoming stars coming from under your loins. Look out, there are many people. I used to tell women, there is no point our being envious against one another. Because the sky is so wide, a million birds can fly at the same time without having an accident. I'm not Holy Ghost Junior, and I can never be Holy Ghost Junior. So I can't be here and be in Nigeria at the same time. So raise people. The work is big. No one person can finish it. Empower people. Wherever you see them, empower them. Because they will cover lots of field that you may never be able to cover. Mentor many people with joy. Then it's important that you watch the words that come forth from your mouth. Speak what you want to see happen in your today and happen in your tomorrow. Declare the counsel of God. Apostle Amedia spoke a lot about that. Words are very powerful. They're very powerful. They can kill, they can give life. You know, words that can destroy, they can build up. The Bible says, Proverbs, I think it's 18:21, life and death lie in the power of the tongue. Use your mouth well. Speak into your life. Speak into the life of people around you. They become what you say over their life. You too, you become what you say over yourself. Sometimes we just, you know, say certain things. You know, it becomes like a general slang in America. And we just say it because we're used to it. It's our usual way of talking. But some of them are idle words. They are not words that a Christian should say. Like somebody just comes back from shopping and say, today I shopped until I dropped. Yeah. If you drop, will you be happy? Will you still be standing on your feet? But it's a slang. You're just saying, I shopped and shopped and shopped. And there are so many slangs like that they use in America. Even when they come to pray for somebody who is battling with cancer in church, they'll say, brother, so is dying of cancer. Why are we praying if he's already dying? Why are we praying? So it may be their report, yes, but whose report do we believe? We believe the report of the Lord. The Lord said, I am he that healeth all your diseases. We believe it, and that's what we need to call forth. From today, you need to become word conscious and learn to speak, declare the word of God. Because words are the currency used to buy and sell in God's kingdom. Words, words, words. You can use your mouth to buy. You can use your mouth to sell. Speak the word of God. Some of us are going through all kinds of stuff today. It's as a result of the things we said yesterday. Because words are never lost. They are like seeds. The day you sow them may not be the day you reap from them. But they will grow and they will bear fruit. And some of the things you may go through tomorrow will be determined by what you say today. Declare, declare God's counsel. We have a book out there, Pray and Speak God's Words. Rentally, it's remaining maybe three or so. You know, but it's a book that, you know, the Lord asked me to write some years ago. He said, I want my people to know how to pray my word. I want them to know how to speak my word. Because a lot of my people are saying so many I do words. They just say rubbish with their mouth. He said, little do they know that there are two people that listen to the things they say as Christians. The devil waits on your words. Demons. Then the angels wait on your word. So when you speak those ones that are not in line with the word of God, the angels go, what's she saying? We don't understand that. That's not in our vocabulary. And then the demons say, it's ours. We know what she's saying. And they will dangle their tail and say, we will make sure that it happens like she has decreed it. So we need to be careful what we say. I'll mention a few more points and begin to pray. You need to be conscious of the company you keep. It's a very major thing if you want to make impact. Because the company you keep, it shapes your habit. It shapes your behavior. It shapes your speech. It shapes your likes, your dislikes, your lifestyle. Our associations have a way of influencing everything about our life. In fact, your association determines your destination. Yes, who are your friends? Who do you hang out with? Birds of the same feather, the Englishman says, they flock together. They flock together. You need to find out, you know, who your friends are. Proverbs 13:20. It says, he that walks with wise men will be wise. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. You know, there are friends you hang out with and they become fire extinguishers. Some friends are vision snatchers. There are even friends you hang out with and they close the heavens over you. And then you'll be struggling under closed heavens. You're not able to make any progress. You find that in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 14 to 16. Elisha told Jehoshaphat, you know, he was called to get a word from the Lord, but he couldn't get any word from the Lord because of Jehoram, whose presence has closed the heavens over Jehoshaphat. So Elisha had to call for a worshiper to come and clear the heavens so that they'll be able to receive a word from the Lord. Please, you need to check out again who your friends are. Work on your habits. Work on your attitudes. You want to make impact. Work on yourself. Your attitude determines your altitude. And you can never have a destiny that is higher than your character and your attitude. A lot of us have messed up our life, messed up relationships because of bad attitude. Your attitude is like a perfume you wear. When you wear it and you just enter anywhere, it will ooze out. You can't hide your attitude for too long. Work on yourself. Work on your attitude. Deal with whatever it is that is wrong in your life so that your attitude can be a blessing to people around you. That is one way to showcase God, even in the marketplace. Your attitude. The Bible says we are the light of the world. Matthew chapter 5 verse 14. You are like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Men do not light a lamp and put it under a bushel. They put it on a lampstand so it can give light to everyone in the house. Therefore, let your light so shine before men, and they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You can only represent God in the marketplace if you have good character. People are watching you. They are listening to what you say. There are some times that you may not even preach any word to somebody. Just watching your lifestyle, they can decide to give their lives to Jesus. That's why Paul said we are God's epistle. You know, not written with ink, but written in the hearts of men. Represent Jesus as an ambassador. Then it's so important that you study the word. We've talked a lot about study. Load your spirit man with the word of God. Load your spirit man. This word of God, the Bible says, is my word not like fire. Jeremiah 23. I think it's 29. Is my word not like fire? Is my word not like hammer that breaks the rock into pieces? God's word is powerful. Psalm 107 verse 20 said, he sent forth his word and his word healed them and delivered them from their destruction. You need the word of God. Colossians 3:16, he says, let it dwell in you richly. This word of God, put it in your system. Don't be an empty-headed Christian that has nothing to offer. When you talk, when you stay near a believer who knows the word of God, you won't stay with her up to 10 minutes without knowing that there is scripture inside this heart. Whereas we fill our system with all kinds of junk, movies and things that don't have eternal value. Load your spirit man with the word of God. And then make your prayer life exciting. Move it to another level. That's one major thing that God will do for all of us in this meeting. He's going to activate your prayer life in a way that by the time you go back, you will see strength on your prayer altar. It's not something that, you know, you will pretend about. No, there is an impartation the Lord is going to do upon our lives here. He's going to release uncommon strength upon us in our prayer altars. Some of us that are here, that our prayer altars are covered with ashes, supernaturally, the Lord will deal with those ashes. It will be cleaned out. You will clean out. And then you will receive strength by the time you go back. You're going back a brand new person. Move your prayer life to another level. Whatever level you were when you came here, don't go back still being at that level. Let something new happen in your prayer life. Hallelujah. And then it's so important that there's some fire that is burning in your bones. You need some fire. It is fire that makes impact. It gives you passion.
When you are carrying fire, anybody who sees you will not need to be told that, look, this lady is carrying something. This man is carrying something. You know, let your life be full of the fire of God. You cannot even be relevant to God if you are cold like ice water. You need to have some fire. Even God himself, the Bible says, he dwells in the midst of everlasting furnace. Everlasting fire. Isaiah 33, verse 16, from verse 14. Even his throne is surrounded with fire. When God wants to travel, he travels with fire. It's his own means of transportation. That's how he came and picked Elijah. He came with a chariot of fire. When Jesus will come back for us, he will come back in a chariot of fire. The Bible says a fire goes before him. Fire is God's forerunner. So there's no way as a believer you can be useful to God without fire. You just need some fire in your bones. And the devil knows believers who have fire and knows those who don't have fire. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5 verse 8, said, be vigilant, be sober, because your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking whom to devour. He has to look for who to devour, because he knows not everybody is devourable. Amen. There are people he cannot dare come close. By the time they see him from far away, right here, they will already identify him. What are you doing, you bastard? What is bringing you to my neighborhood? Malikatala Barakosh, he will say, I'm sorry. I missed my way. I wasn't really coming here. I missed my way. You need to have some fire in your bones. Even witches and wizards, they know believers who have fire. So they don't come practicing on your body. They don't come hooking you down and then you want to shout, Jesus, you're not able to shout. Say, I don't know what it is. He made some mark on my body. He drew some maps on my body. He did this and did that. Those people are apprentice witches who do those things. And for them to be able to practice on you means that your fire is gone. They have no right to practice on you if you have some fire in your bones. In this conference, you will catch some fire. You cannot live here without some fire in your bones. You need some fire. That is the only way you can make impact. You need some fire. You need some fire. And then women. God spoke something to our daddy. 2010 February. He said, this decade in which we are, heaven has earmarked it as a decade of women. That in this decade, women are being taken from the backside of the desert. Limitations that have held us over the years are being broken. And women are being freed and brought to the front line. To partner with the barracks. So that kingdom work can be done faster and better. He said there's an uncommon open heavens over women. An uncommon anointing, apostolic oil. To do uncommon exploits. It's being released upon women. In this decade. It began 2011. We have just 1.5 years to go in this decade. And some women don't even know that it's their time to run on the track. That heaven is looking at them. It's like, come on. Run, you have what it takes. You have open heavens over you. Whatever you couldn't do from the beginning of creation, you can do it now. Go! God said, I'm releasing upon my sons the anointing of Mordecai. I want my sons to groom daughters, wherever you see them. Women of God, your children, wives, groom them. Mentor them, release them to go. Empower them. Because in the rising of the Esthers, the Mordecai's will work stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. Finally, you need to showcase God's power wherever you are. Showcase his power. Walk in the supernatural. Don't walk like an ordinary person. You cannot have a supernatural God on the inside of you. And you're walking, you know, like a princess begging for candy. Meanwhile, you're living in the palace. God has equipped you with what it takes to represent him anywhere you are. You are an ambassador of the Most High. And he wants you to represent him. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 4 and 5. He said, we didn't come to you speaking big English. It wasn't about big grammar. We come to you declaring the counsel of the Lord, manifesting the power of God. And of course they did. It was through signs and wonders that they preached the gospel. They didn't preach it with mouth. So in Acts chapter 3, when, you know, they met the crippled man at the beautiful gate, Peter and John, they said, we don't have silver and gold, but what we have, we will give you. And they took his hand, bam, and they released supernatural power into his bones. And bones that have not stood up for 38 years. You know, there was an electricity that went through the man's body. The Bible says when he caught up, he couldn't hold it. He was jumping, he was leaping, he was praising God. Church left inside the cathedral and church took place outside. People are looking for the power of God. Yeah. When they see the power of God, that's where everybody wants to gravitate to. Yeah. By the time Peter responded to that miracle, 5,000 people were brought into the church in one day. Are we looking for church growth? Walk in the supernatural. That is what he said. The power of God, that's all we need. Because that is the major thing that distinguishes Christianity from every other religion. The power of God. Just one miracle. 5,000 came to know the Lord. In Acts chapter 14, there was another miracle that took place at Lystra. Another crippled man came back to, you know, began to walk. And the people there began to scream, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of man. This is not ordinary people. You are gods. That's what the Bible says. You are gods. There's an anointing inside of you. Just waiting to be activated. And you begin to do what you need to do for your generation. Rise up, we want to pray. Rakaba shalebo sotolibaya. Rebo shikata la maleketeya. Yeke promo shekeri malakatendelia. Masokori maseketelebo sotondelia. Rimalekete moshakalabaya. Ramalekentele mosunda. The Lord wants you to be an impact maker. The Lord wants you to make a difference where he has planted you. He wants you to rule your world. He wants you to affect your generation. But a lot of times, all kinds of rubbish around our lives hinder us from being who God wants us to be. Many valleys around us that need to be filled up. A lot of mountains standing in front of us that must be brought low. Because those things are hindrances on your way to get to where God wants you to get to. Some of them, the Bible calls them little foxes that spoil the vine. Some of them is bitterness, unforgiveness, anger, pride, walking in the flesh, carnality. All kinds of things that are hindering us from getting to where we need to get to. We're going to take this scripture and use it to pray. And when we begin to pray, we have just 3 prayer points to pray before we go on break. When we begin to pray, I want you to know that there is power in your words. There's power in your mouth. Don't pray shime shime prayer. They know me here. I said, I don't like shime shime prayer. My prayer is God does not even hear what you're saying. The devil doesn't hear what you're saying. You know, the apostles, I don't think that's how they prayed. In Acts chapter 4, verse 31, the Bible says, when they prayed, the place where they prayed shook. Then James chapter 5 verse 16, he says, the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The Bible says in Isaiah, the scripture I want us to pray with is Isaiah. Isaiah 40 verse 4. He says, every valley in my life shall be exalted. Every mountain and hill in and around me must be made low. The crooked places in and around my life must be made straight, and the rough places must be made plain. In the morning, Godfrey gave us this scripture, Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 10, says, see, this day I have set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy, and to throw down. Whatever those wicked structures are that are in your life, that must be rooted out, that must be thrown down, that must be pulled down, that must be destroyed. Whatever those valleys are that must be filled up, they will not pass tonight. In the name of Jesus. Say with me, every structure of the enemy in and around my life in my home, in my destiny, hindering me from impacting my world. Today, I root you out. I pull you down. I destroy you. I throw you down in the name of Jesus. Open your mouth and begin to pray. You know what they are. You know what the structures are. Whatever has hindered you, whatever has meant a valley in your life, that must be filled up today. That must be filled up. Every valley must be filled up. Every valley must be filled up. Every mountain and hill must be brought low. Every crooked part in your life must be made straight. Every crooked place in your destiny must be made straight. I pull down every structure of the wicked in and around my life. I pull you down. I pull you down. I root you out. Whatever my father has not planted, whatever my father has not planted in and around my life, I root you out. You little foxes spoiling the vine of my life, I destroy you. I destroy you. I release the fire of the Holy Ghost against your life. Rabo shakalabaya. Hendelelebo shandeya. Rabande kete mosori amalekete lebo sunda. Rabande kete. Whatever is not bearing good fruit in my life. Whatever is not bearing good fruit in my life. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost consume you. Irekebo shakuria. Mande kete mosokori bala. Mayebo shandebo sutalabaya. Hendelebo shakalabaya. Makabo sheketelebo sunda. Ribalebo shikalabrakote mosanda. Mali maseketelebrokunda. Remali malia. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Finally, in Isaiah 41, verse 15, the Bible says, behold, I will make you a new sharp threshing instrument, having teeth. You shall thresh down the mountains and beat them small. You will make the hills as chaff. That is God's desire, to empower you, to make you a sharp threshing instrument that will harass the kingdom of darkness and make, you know, affect lives around you. Can you pray with me? My Father, my Father. My Father, my Father, make me a sharp threshing instrument. Make me your battle axe. Make me your weapons of war. My Father, empower me to impact my world. Empower me to impact my world. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. Yes, Lord, that is my desire. I want to rule my world. I want to rule my world. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference. I want to make a difference, Lord. I want to make a difference, my Father. Yes, Lord. I want to affect my generation. Rakobo shakalebo sotoliba. Rabande ketele brokori malika talabakune. Ribale ketelebo shakuria. Empower me to rule my world, Father. Make me a sharp threshing instrument. Make me a sharp threshing instrument. Rekorimalaya. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Put your hands on your stomach. You're going to prophesy to the womb of your spirit. The Bible says, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Those potentials that are still lying dormant, those gifts, those talents that God has given to you, but are lying dormant in the womb of your spirit, today you will stir them up. Stir up that seed of greatness on the inside of you. Pray with me, my Father, my Father. I stir up every seed of greatness in the womb of my spirit. I stir stir them up. Come alive. 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 Come alive, come alive, come alive. You see the greatness inside of me. Come alive, come alive, come alive, come alive, come alive, come alive. Masho lebo tokaria. Hendelelebo sokoria. Keke mosha kalabrakonda. Mayebo shindelebo sonda.